We want to build a community and share other women's stories.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Tea with TE podcast. It's the She Who Leads series. Today, I have Jade Bentwood with me. She is the founder of Tallow, and Tallow is an amazing initiative for women, which I can't wait to talk about. Jade, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks.
Of course. I think it's always useful to start with a bit of information on you. And I know that Tallow isn't something that you've always done. So we'd love to hear a bit of background, and then we'll go into a bit more around what Tallow is and how it helps with females.
Sure. I'm Jade. I'm the founder of Tallow. I have two kids. They are 5 and 3. Before I started the business, I worked in wealth management for 10 years. And I ran a women's division, which was essentially just trying to make investments and finance more accessible to women. My own personal experience of going on maternity leave is kind of what sparked my passion for wanting to build Tallow. So I went on maternity leave, and I found that transition from very fast-paced working, quite corporate environments, being at home, really hard on the momentum of my career. And I met so many other women who were going through the same thing, kind of loss of identity, loss of confidence, unsure about how to navigate this next kind of chapter. And so I started holding these events at my house to understand a little bit more about what people were feeling, but more importantly, what their companies were doing. And through that, we piloted and tested if we matched all of those women to mentors who are in the same industry, but not the same company. And people that had been through that same personal experience, what would the outcome be? And honestly, the feedback was incredible. And it was that that made me think, okay, I want to make that really authentic, kind of real relationship between two people accessible to all women going through all different types of transitions. So that's how Tallow was born.
That's amazing. I actually never knew that it started at home.
Yeah. I actually did a post about it. I used to just walk around trying to find all different women who were quite senior in their roles. And they came to my house with their babies, and we'd sit in like this big circle and talk about what were they feeling and what were their companies doing. And it was all of these groups of women that I kept speaking to and seeing the same thing and listening to the same thing. No companies were doing the same thing either that made me want to make a difference or change it.
That's amazing. Where did you get like the group of women from at the time?
Yeah, so I had quite an extensive network in my kind of professional life, and so anyone that was kind of going through that same transition who was on maternity leave, they would come. And also, when you have a baby, you quite quickly connect with others that are in the same position as you. Mm-hmm. And so I just find different groups of people and reach out to people, walk past people in the park, and then they bring different people. And the only requirement was that you'd have to have worked in a business, like you have to be at a certain level, so been in your industry for a number of years, and that you were on maternity leave. But it was the best way for me to understand what the problem was.
I could do that right now.
Yeah.
And so obviously your career prior, and I think it definitely leads into obviously where Tallow has come from, because you were in wealth management, right? And that's naturally also not a female-led environment at all, really. Yeah. You ended up moving in to focus on females, which I think is also really interesting. Do you want to just share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I actually didn't plan to go into finance originally. The reason I went into it was that the managing director of the business that I joined, who actually was a mentor to me, and he really sadly passed away actually a few years ago. But he essentially gave me an opportunity, and I kind of ran with it. And once I'd qualified in finance, once I was able to give that advice, I realized quite quickly, where was I able to add the most value to clients? And it was with women. I was a young woman in finance. Mm-hmm. I was able to kind of create and curate an offering that was slightly more focused on the relationship side rather than just the investments. And I loved it. It gave me like an incredible grounding, I think, to my career. And I'm grateful actually for that whole journey that I had there. For sure, the work ethic that managing director that I mentioned instilled in us, like I absolutely carry with me now. It was my personal experience of going on maternity leave that led me to start selling.
Okay, and so when Tallow was born, you obviously had, I'm assuming, pretty reasonable network of the females that were in your space anyway. But how did you take that from kind of this concept of being at home on mat leave yourself to turning Tallow into a business?
So it's been this really organic growth, and excuse me, I'm really grateful that it's evolved like that. So being in finance for 10 years, I had quite an extensive network of different women and different people within the industry, and by the industry I mean professional services in general. And so it's been this really organic growth of a group of mentors that have been really instrumental to me at different points in my career, have then introduced their people, who have then introduced their people. And it's been this kind of snowball effect. And what I've been so taken aback with, but also grateful for, is that everyone that's gone through a life transition that's still working wants to give back to other women. So it becomes this like really amazing circular economy of someone goes through it and then actually they then become a mentor themselves. So it started off with me kind of building this community of incredible mentors, piloting it and testing each time, you know, that matching process, what the impact was, what the kind of feedback was from those interactions, and then figuring out a business model of how am I going to make this, you know, work commercially, and how can I actually make the corporates, how can I help them deliver something really powerful for their employees as well. So it's been this really organic growth, and yeah, here we are today.
And so, in terms of the peer-to-peer mentorship, just talk about kind of the audience that this would typically apply to Rotello. So you just mentioned corporates there. Is it mainly corporate organizations? How is it
So
working?
I'll just maybe tell you a bit more about what Tallow actually is. So we are a peer-to-peer mentoring platform that supports women across all different life transitions throughout their careers. So that could be fertility, maternity leave, baby loss, menopause, grief, divorce, whatever it is that you are going through. We match employees to mentors who are in the same industry but not the same company and have already navigated that same personal experience. And it's the relatability and authenticity of that connection that allows people to be really open and therefore get that practical best practice, shared experience, guidance, tools to actually impact their own transition and their own journey. So I can do all this great mentoring work over here, but if employees then return into an environment where their companies aren't equipped to know, you know, how line managers can make that experience great or HR as well, everything kind of gets a bit lost. So for us, it's that full circle of the mentor matching at its core, and that's the platform that we have, but then also working with corporates to help them deliver a really great experience for women as well.
It honestly sounds so invaluable, and I think what you're doing is honorable. I think so
Thank
many people, I'm sure, are, of course, are benefiting from it. Obviously, this is a female leadership podcast, and it's a lot of females listen to learn or just to kind of hear out how other people are doing things. I know that women in general, and speaking kind of broadly as a gender, do struggle as they kind of reach these transitional points in their career. And interestingly, there's lots of things that men don't have to go through that women do have to go through that is not talked about. But equally, like you just said there, like sometimes people just don't know how to deal with that. If your manager is a male who's never had children or come across any of these situations, it's like, I don't know how to help you because it's so unknown to them. And it might not be on purpose. It might just be that they don't know how to deal with it. But what are some of the key challenges that you face that people are coming to you with and kind of saying, I'm really struggling with X or Y?
It's a great question. So I think there's probably three different parts to that. We get a lot of requests from companies and from women that when they're growing and they're kind of progressing within their career, one of the biggest transitions is going from that sort of executive level to board level. That transition can be really challenging because there isn't the training around it. There isn't necessarily the role models. And so often you go into a board environment and there isn't the blueprint of like how to communicate effectively and how to make sure that your ideas are being heard, and companies therefore aren't getting the most out of their board members. So we do a lot of work around that. But I would say just more broadly, what most people come to us with is navigating these big life moments in the context of their working career. And often what happens is the more things you take on professionally, because the more you grow in your career, often that's mirrored with a lot of the things that are kind of building and growing in your personal life. And suddenly you have all these plates spinning, and trying to do them all really well is unrealistic and overwhelming. And actually what often happens is our own personal kind of wellness and looking after ourselves goes right to the bottom of the pile. So often for senior leaders or for women that are, you know, are kind of growing within their careers, one of the biggest challenges is, how do I make that work? How do I kind of make sure that I put myself first while having all of these other things to juggle? And our mentoring covers all of those types of things, because it's coming from someone that has been through it themselves. They've walked in your shoes personally, and also they understand the nuances and the challenges of your specific industry. So I'd say mostly those things.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think sometimes until you talk to somebody that's actually been through it as well, you don't realize necessarily that you're feeling those things.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the things people tell us all the time with the mentoring. It's like someone holds up a mirror, and it almost like gives you permission to feel the things that you're feeling, because often as women, we can be quite stoic and we want to show that like everything's great and we've got it all together and career's great and family's great. And sometimes that might be the case, but sometimes it's not. And actually, if we can, through mentorship or through one of our programs, show that element of vulnerability, you get so much back from it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it is that whole kind of, and it shouldn't be really, but it is like that female-male divide a little bit, isn't it? Like, I can't show a mirror to you because I don't know what you're feeling. Yeah. And then, well, you're like, well, if you're not feeling it, then I shouldn't really show that I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And we do a lot around kind of training, sort of, you know, best practice for line managers and for different people who maybe haven't been through it. Also, I meet a lot of HR directors who also haven't necessarily been through one of these transitions yet. And I think as long as you're leading from a place of empathy and actually you are trying to educate yourself on what that individual might be going through, then you're in a position where you're going to create an environment where you can have that openness. I think sometimes what happens is people shy away from even having that conversation out of fear of saying the wrong thing or maybe not getting it perfect. And actually then you create this huge communication divide. So I think one of the things we always say and encourage is having this kind of openness of conversation so that you can learn and educate yourself in the best way you can without having physically been through it. And then you've got a much better chance of that person feeling supported.
That's really helpful. Are there any other kind of little bits of advice that you can think of that obviously not everyone is in like a large environment where they can support, I guess? What are there any other little snippets of help like that?
Yeah, so I think from a company perspective, we get a lot of feedback from our community. It's like one of the things I'm really passionate about, trying to make sure that we're always listening to what people are telling us would make their experience different or change their trajectory. And a lot of the feedback that we get is that often communication is like the number one thing. And often people think they're checking in, and they might be, but it's quite tick boxy. So you've got your standard check-in points with women, and it's not enough. You actually need to check in far more than what you think. And the reason for that is because all of these transitions are like very transient processes. How you feel on day one, when you're going through something, let's say maternity leave, for example, is very different to how you're going to feel a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later. It's constantly evolving. And so you have to be able to check in and talk to that person to understand how they're feeling and understand and notice that it is going to evolve and change. And so definitely check in far more than you think you should be. And it's those kind of impromptu ones of just asking how you are. Not because we've got a really structured check-in process and we're going to go through a checklist. People aren't necessarily going to be open in those meetings. So just check in and you'll find that people will be much more inclined to share with you the challenges that they've had, that they're having, and you know, then you can move forward. Culture is obviously a huge one. I think another thing that we see is like when companies are open to listening to the feedback, that creates a really great environment. So I'll give you an example. We're working with one of our clients. They wanted to try and understand why none of their employees were using their kit days. And I think this is not just a them thing. This is kind of across so many industries and across so many different, they're not actually used as much as they should be. And the reasons for that is that women often feel, they go in and they feel a little bit like an intern. You're kind of sat at your desk.
What do I do for a day? Well, even I've been thinking about that. I'm like, how do I, I'd love to spend time. Yeah.
So what you actually end up doing is you sit and you're like clearing your inbox and you're kind of like, this is a bit pointless. And line managers feel a bit stressed because they're trying to find you something to do at the last minute. And also then you've left your baby for, he's probably quite young, for the whole day, and you might be breastfeeding, or there's so many different components to it. So actually, like, it's not helpful for anyone. So we trialed, like, along with this company, of creating these sort of half kit days or mornings where it's actually around the social side of it. Come in, meet the HR director for a coffee, meet the line manager, meet new team members, and actually just focus on like the social side, catch up with friends in the office. And there's no pressure or onus to do these big break ground things. And often what happens off the back of that is people leave feeling kind of excited and inspired, and they've enjoyed that experience, and then they want to do the next one, and then you build on it from there. So I think having an openness to listening to what's not working and trialing things that might work is a really important thing for companies to do. And we've actually taken that, and now we've rolled that out to kind of most of our clients, and the kit days has gone way up. So I'd say, yeah, just that would be a key one as well.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think you naturally think, well, I have to now spend 9 hours with people, but what can I actually do in 9 hours? Like, I couldn't go and support on a search, and I can't really go and meet clients, I can't really do anything after. So even I've been thinking, you kind of think, well, how do you make it work?
And I think if you just, for me, it's like, just take the formality out of it. What's keeping in touch is to keep in touch, go in and keep in touch, go and have
socially, like you say, have a nice morning with some people.
Why not? And actually you'll leave feeling like that was really great, and there's no pressure from the line managers as well, who often find it quite stressful to like panic at the last minute to find something to do, and they're not really sure what they can and can't
give you
ask
an admin
you,
so task.
They like everyone avoids you because they're so worried about asking you the wrong question. No one wins in that situation.
No, it's so true. Do you know what, I hadn't even, it's been something on my mind and I hadn't really thought about, like, how do you do it? So thanks. That's actually, I think, something someone will take some good away from that. I know things like menopause and just topics that I guess I've like baby loss or like things like that, that I think are slightly, and they shouldn't be, but I think they are slightly taboo. I think people don't know how to talk about them. So how, with Tallow, firstly, do you get people to kind of come to you and actually open up wanting to talk about it? And also, what, like, what have you come across in with Tallow with those situations?
Yeah, so one of the key things for me when I set the business up was I was adamant that we had to remain an independent business, because the only reason women are so open with us and their mentors is because it is separate to their company. And so there isn't that fear of all the reasons why. And I did a big research project with our community around what is the barrier that stops you being open. And actually Deloitte this week, I think, released like a report around this as well. Lots of other things in it, but actually there was a little piece around it, and it mirrored entirely what we found within our community. And like, some of those reasons are things you'd expect, like, you know, if you're going to be open about those sort of vulnerable transitions or things like that, then actually, you know, you might not get the promotion, you might be passed up for the promotion, people might question your ability. Then like, if there were going to be redundancies and things like that, you're making yourself in kind of a vulnerable position to be the first one to go. And then there's like all the cultural things as well, that maybe the culture of the company doesn't support that level of openness.
It's like you say, some people are scared to ask the wrong question, right? And I think awkward.
So true. And so there's so much fear around it. So I think one of the things that Tallow provides is that independent, safe place where people can be really open with someone who actually gets it and is separate to your working life and your personal life, but understands your industry and your job and what you do, and also what you're actually feeling in that moment. So I think having access to that is obviously a great thing. I actually have a mentor myself, and she's hilarious, and she talks about, you know, she went through menopause when she was very senior in her career. So she was like a board executive, chairwoman, multi-exited lady, and she was going through menopause at a really poignant time in her career. She couldn't pretend it wasn't happening, hide it, because people would have thought if she's having a hot flush, maybe she's embarrassed, or maybe she's a bit shy. And so she had to own it, and she had to almost like confront it head on and be like, I'm having a hot flush, give me a minute. let it go through and then continue. And I think there's so much to take from that. And I think if we can find a way to almost like break down that stigma of stop being apologetic about these things, I think culturally it will be, have a big shift, because you know these are life things that 100% of women are going to go through. So yeah.
How do you teach people to be or to have that power of vulnerability? Because I think it's all well and good saying it.
Yeah.
Or you can have like an amazing mentoring session with your mentor, and then you go back and you go, yeah, I'm going to talk about this with my line manager. But then when it comes to it, actually, you can't, and you feel like you can't, you don't want to show that vulnerable side. How can people open up? And I guess there's a bit of magic that comes with that, right? Like you just said with your mentor owning it.
Yeah.
People trust you a bit more as well, I think, naturally. Yeah.
I think it's like experience of doing it and seeing the reaction from doing it. So like I can say for me personally in building Tallow, I've struggled myself with showing that element of vulnerability. And I just think I've always been wired like that. But actually, since having kids, since being a founder, I'm learning, and it's an ever-evolving process, learning to be vulnerable, because actually I've got I can see that when I am, the business does better and different doors open and people actually want help. And when I say, you know, I don't know and this isn't perfect and I actually really need help, it's amazing what comes back. So through the mentorship, what happens is that individual, and this is why I insist that our mentors are from the same industry and have actually been through it, they're giving their shared lived experience of how it worked for them and giving them that practical support and advice to go and do it and try it. And actually then they're a sounding board to help them go through that entire process. And actually we've had like feedback this week, another example of a mentee who was like going to leave her job because she couldn't figure out how to make it work. She didn't want to open up to them. She was just going to leave. And through her mentorship, she's developed the confidence and the ability to maybe have that conversation. And now she's actually going back into a job that is much more flexible and, you know, they found a middle ground. And she's so excited to go back and she can't wait. And she feels so grateful to them. And she's so ready to kind of to get back to it. That is amazing. And so I think like having mentorship from someone who gets it is key.
Yeah, that's a complete shift, right? It's a 180 that everybody 180, would want.
Yeah.
Sure, which is great. Let's talk a little bit more about you kind of personally and professionally. I think everybody likes to learn from these things. And I'm sure Tallow has been one of your proudest moments. But what have been some of your biggest achievements in your career to date?
In life, obviously, my kids are a huge achievement for me. I'm proud. And they drive me, particularly my daughter. Just having a daughter, I think, changes things for me because it's a huge driver for me to try and make this a success. I think when I look back at my career in finance, I am really proud of having the division that I had. We had 100 million of assets under management in this in this team. And I'm really proud of what we built and my journey there. Yeah, like I said, it gave me this really great kind of sound, a really great start to my career. And I'm really kind of grateful for that. I honestly have to say the thing that makes me the proudest is getting feedback from our mentees. And I genuinely mean that, like the one I just mentioned, like if someone is going to stay and work versus leave, I think that is incredible for me. So one of my sort of deeper whys of why I started this business is I want to help women keep and maintain financial independence and identity. And I've seen in my personal life what happens when women lose that. And so if through Tallow, I can help women to do that, like that for me is the proudest thing ever. So I would say definitely the feedback from our mentees is the thing that lights me up.
Of course. And honestly, well done. I think it's amazing. It's always nice to hear that things are having a positive impact, particularly in the female community, of course, right? It's natural.
Definitely, yeah.
Similarly, I guess, kind of, but on the other side, what have been the hardest things you've had to deal with?
Just like daily, being a mum of kids, getting out of the house in the morning.
The challenges then, like today, like you said, right?
Yeah, like this morning, like my daughter's got sent home from school, and then my son was like, I don't feel well either. Just, you know, all the normal things as being a working mum. Also, I think for me, the biggest the hardest period when I look back was like starting the business at the same time as having a newborn. Those two things, it was just really
Yeah.
challenging. Just not the best.
Does that
That was
not
really
just
tough.
sound crazy when you say it out
Yeah, when I say it out
loud?
loud, it does completely nuts. But I think like I had around me, like my partner's incredibly supportive and we figured it out along the way, but it was really tough. I'd say that's been the biggest challenge for me.
Yeah.
That
Equally, it sounds like that was probably part of the inspiration at the same time.
definitely.
Was that with
Exactly.
your first or second?
Second.
Okay.
Second. Yeah. And I think also second time around for me as a mum, like everything was slightly less precious and you don't have that all the unknowns that you have first time around, you don't necessarily have second time around. So maybe that was part of it as well.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe part of it was obviously how you maybe felt in the first time and thinking, do you know what, I don't want to feel like that again.
First time was
How
really
do I
was really
tackle
I
it?
feel like I asked a lot of people like what they how they felt first time, second time, and first time for me was just like the biggest shift in everything because yeah, it's
But it's
first
that unknown, isn't it?
all the unknowns, yeah,
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
it's probably me right now.
I also feel like however much people can prepare you until you're in it, there's no way of really knowing, you know, that you have this kind of illusion in your mind of what you think it's going to be like. And maybe there's a hormonal thing where we need to stay in that space because
Yeah.
actually, we, you know, but ultimately, you're going to be great. It's all going
Thank
to
you.
be fine.
Thank you. We always think it's useful to share advice on here. So, firstly, what's the best piece of advice that you've had throughout your career? I imagine there's been a lot, but what would you say is that kind of one piece that you always take with you?
So I did this like a little, what would I call it, like a project kind of thing with some of the mentors in our community. I asked all of them, like, what's the best advice you have, or what would you tell your younger self? And these are all like very established women who have gone through different things in their lives, and some of them were hilarious. You know, like no one knows what they're doing, everyone's making it up, so like don't worry. And you know, I've had loads of different pieces of advice. The one that kind of resonates with me the most, and I kind of always come back to, is a woman that basically said to me that the only limitations that you have in life are the ones that you set for yourself. And I have used that actually recently quite a few times, in that we're all capable of doing great things, and it's actually in those sort of sweaty palm moments and those, you know, those moments where we are a bit scared that actually the biggest growth comes. And so, you know, I'm guilty of this as well. Like we often worry about so many things that like don't even happen. And so just trusting that like we actually are capable of doing things, doing great things, and sometimes those kind of barriers that we put in place, we do that to ourselves. So don't, was her advice to me. And I love that actually.
Yeah, I think it's and I think it's as women we do it more than ever.
Definitely.
It's the
Definitely.
self-doubt thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I also think like I'm learning as well that like, and this is an element of maybe vulnerability or letting go of perfectionism and stuff, is through every experience there's like so many learnings to take. And actually, even if it doesn't go well, even if it's terrible, like you still take so much from that. So I think just flipping it, rather than just like every experience there's something to take from it. If it goes great, if you learn something, if it doesn't go great, so always try and look for that learning within it, and then I've, you know, you stop worrying about trying to make everything perfect.
Yeah, so true. I was reading, it was something to do with Sarah Blakely. I don't know if you
Yeah,
know her, like the Spanx founder. Basically,
absolutely.
so she was, I was listening to a podcast or something the other day, and essentially she was like, my father used to get us to sit at the dinner table every day, and instead of saying like, what did you do well today, it's like, what did you fail at today?
Yes.
And it's such an interesting perspective to think about,
Yeah,
actually, what was the
I
thing that I
might.
learned from it?
Yeah, I might try that tonight with my kids.
Yeah, it
I
was.
really like
I thought
that.
it was quite interesting. You might have just covered it there because that might be your advice that you would share, kind of the future female
Yeah.
generation. But are there any thoughts around that? What would you say
Yeah.
for them to focus on?
I think something that I've kind of learned and tried to do it over the last few years, I think, especially, is you've got to find your tribe. And by that, I don't just mean like professionally, I mean personally as well. And I think like finding the people in your life that light you up, that want to see you succeed, that are going to support you up, you know, through all the different elements of that journey is so important. And so I think being really intentional about that is my biggest piece of advice for sure. And also, like, celebrate the wins. When you've got like a little win, a big win, like take the moment to just be in that and enjoy that, because we have to.
So true. And I think we forget sometimes how the smallest of wins can be, have the biggest of impact.
Yeah. And just like taking that moment to just like reflect and be like, yeah, like you did that and that's great. And just and sit with that for a minute before we're like rushing to do the next thing.
Yeah. And I think interesting how you say about your tribe, because I think when you're younger, obviously so impressionable, and you think everyone is everything to you, and it's only as you get a bit older and as you do become a parent and you kind of juggle things, or you become a board member, it's like I can't have all of these things at once. It's like pick the people that are going to help you.
And also, like, you can't be liked, and not everyone's going to love what you're doing, and you can't be liked by everyone, and that's okay, and that's really fine, as long as you are being you and, you know, surrounding yourself with the people that do get you and love you and want you to succeed, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Jade, thank you so much for sharing.
Pleasure.
I love hearing about how Tallow is growing, and I know it's only going to continue to grow, and I think that maybe one day I can be a mentor and share some insights with some people. I would love to get involved in that. But honestly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really hope that people get some takeaways from this as well. One last question, because it is the Tea with Tea podcast, is how do you take your tea?
How do I take my tea? I take my tea with a little bit of milk, and sometimes with a spoonful of honey as well.
Ah, nice. Yeah, great.
Around, but I do like a spoon of honey in my tea.
Delicious.
How do you take yours?
I am just an English breakfast tea person. A little bit of, normally oat milk though.
Yeah, same. I can have oat milk. If there was a choice, I'd have oat milk.
Yeah.
Good to
there
know.
We go.
Maybe a biscuit.
Yes, for sure. honestly, thank you so much, and really appreciate you sharing all of your insights and your lessons for everybody. I know that there's going to be a lot that people will take away from today, so really do appreciate it. And if anybody is looking for some mentorship within their organizations, obviously please reach out to Jade. They've got a great thing going, and I think will certainly be of help.
Thanks, Kerry. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you.